Traditionally, when we build software, it's a bit like building a vending machine.
Right, totally determinist rad.
Exactly. The entire process is just rigid. You press button A4, the coil turns exactly one rotation, and you get a candy bar. It's a clean, predictable transaction.
Yeah, you know exactly what's going to happen every single time.
But lately, interacting with AI feels less like a vending machine and much more like, magic.
Oh, for
You
sure.
walk up, ask for something sweet that reminds you of a summer day, and it seemingly just bakes you a peach cobbler from scratch. It's incredible.
It is, but if you are actually trying to run a reliable business or serve a real community, magic is actually kind of terrifying.
Right, because you don't really know how it works, and you definitely don't know when it's going to fail.
Exactly. And that is the exact tension we're exploring today as we dive into the notebooks of security engineer Chris Watkins.
Yeah, so Chris, who also publishes under the name Bingo Codes, has this fascinating stack of build in public articles.
The transition from predictable code to probabilistic AI, it requires a massive shift in how we engineer systems. And Watkins is documenting all of this as he builds Djembe AI and its flagship product.
Right, Big Mama, which is such an ambitious project.
Oh, incredibly ambitious. It's a voice-first, culturally grounded AI agent.
And it's specifically designed to help Black communities discover local businesses, preserve cultural knowledge, and, help small and mid-sized businesses actually grow.
Yeah. And what makes this deep dive so compelling for you listening today is that this isn't just about AI hype.
No, not at all.
It's not some shiny tech demo operating in a vacuum. We are taking you on a journey from the core mathematical engine of a large language model,
The actual foundation.
right, through the complex nervous system of real-time voice infrastructure, all the way down to community impact.
We're basically looking at how a security engineer's mindset fundamentally changes the architecture of an AI application.
So, to understand the architecture of a complex voice agent like Big Mama, we have to start at the foundation, right? We have to look at why older programming paradigms just fail here.
Right, the vending machine approach.
Exactly. In strict security environments, we still rely really heavily on what are called expert systems.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
Well, these are the vending machines of the software world. A human hand codes explicit rules, like if an IP address hits a server 1,000 times a minute, trigger an alert.
Which is great for structured data.
Very effective, yes.
But I imagine those expert systems completely shatter the moment they encounter the messiness of human language.
Though, instantly.
Because real people don't speak in predictable, perfectly formatted database queries. They use slang, they hesitate, they change their minds mid-sentence.
Yeah, you simply cannot write an if-then statement for every single possible way a person might ask for a local restaurant recommendation.
It's impossible.
And that brittleness is why the industry moved toward machine learning, and specifically for language, toward transformer architectures.
Right. And we don't need to rehash all the basics of machine learning for this audience, but there's a specific mechanical leap here.
Yes, the mechanism inside the transformer called attention. That's what makes a system like Big Mama possible.
Okay, let me see if I have the mechanics of this right, because it's not just reading text from left to right like we do.
Not at all.
The attention mechanism actually allows the model to mathematically weigh which parts of a sentence matter most to the current context, right?
That is the absolute core of it. Consider a phrase like the bank of the river.
Okay.
In an older system, the word bank might just immediately trigger financial associations.
Because bank usually means money.
Right. But the attention mechanism mathematically forces the representation of the word bank to look at the surrounding words, specifically river.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it calculates a heavy mathematical weight between those two tokens, and that physically shifts the coordinates of bank away from the concept of money and firmly into the concept of water.
And that brings us to embeddings, which I just find endlessly fascinating.
They are amazing.
Because underneath the hood, the AI doesn't see words at all. It breaks our text down into tokens like chunks of words converted into numbers and maps them into a massive mathematical space using these embeddings.
Yeah, this coordinate system is essentially the engine of semantic understanding. Let's say a user asks Big Mama for a family-friendly brunch with good music.
Okay.
A traditional keyword search would scan local business databases for those exact literal words, and it would probably fail to find a match.
But with embeddings, the AI recognizes that Phrases like weekend breakfast or kids menu and live DJ, they occupy very similar mathematical coordinates to the user's original request.
Right, exactly. It captures the meaning and the vibe, not just the raw text strings.
Mm-hmm.
But the catch is it has to juggle all of these shifting coordinates inside what's called a context window.
Right, the context window.
Which functions as the model's short-term working memory during an active session. And it is a finite space. Every token the user inputs and every token the model generates, it eats up a slot in that window.
So once the window is full, the model essentially starts forgetting the beginning of the conversation.
Exactly. And managing that limited space is a massive engineering challenge.
Okay, I have to push back here on the fundamental reliability of this whole setup.
Go for it.
If this entire system is just predicting the most mathematically probable next token inside a limited window, like basically a highly advanced autocomplete, why does it hallucinate so confidently?
Well,
and more importantly, how can a small business owner possibly trust it to give a customer their correct address or operating hours?
That challenge is exactly why an LLM on its own is entirely insufficient for a production-ready application.
It's just not enough.
Right. LLMs are optimized to generate plausible language. They are not natively optimized for guaranteed truth.
Because they just calculate what sounds right.
Exactly, based on their training data patterns. And in a security context, a confident false positive is an absolute disaster. If Big Mama sends a family to a restaurant that actually closed a year ago, that isn't just a quirk. It's a catastrophic product failure.
Which means the LLM needs serious guardrails.
Huge guardrails.
It basically needs a steering wheel. Because a prediction engine alone is just a chatbot, and a chatbot just answers questions.
Right.
To be useful, it needs to graduate from an assistant to an agent that actually pursues specific goals.
And to build that agent architecture, Watkins borrows a really cool concept from military strategy called the OODA loop.
OODA, right. Observe, orient, decide, act.
Exactly. To execute a complex task for a small business owner, so they ask, help me promote my shop this weekend.
Which is a very messy, vague goal.
Right. So the AI must observe the prompt, orient itself by fetching the specific business data, decide on a promotional strategy, and then act by actually drafting a post.
But it can't just act wildly. It has to structure that goal. The source material mentions turning these messy human requests into a directed acyclic graph, or a DAG.
Yeah, a DAG.
How does that actually work in the code?
Well, a DAG is essentially a highly structured one-way flowchart. By forcing the AI to map its plan onto a DAG, it completely prevents chaotic logic loops.
Oh, okay. For example, the graph dictates that the AI absolutely must ping the inventory API to confirm there are actually products in stock before it moves to the next node of drafting the promotional tweet.
So it can't skip steps.
Right. And the acyclic part means the flow cannot circle back on itself endlessly. It forces a resolution.
That makes a lot of sense. It anchors the probabilistic guessing engine to very deterministic steps.
Precisely.
And to navigate that flowchart effectively, the agent requires memory. Watkins breaks memory down into very distinct architectural buckets.
He does.
There is session memory, which is just the immediate back and forth happening right now. But then he layers in user preference memory, task memory, business memory, and retrieval memory.
Yeah, differentiating between context, which is what is actively sitting in the prompt's working memory right now, and the broader memory database is critical.
Because the context window is too small. It's way too small, and it's expensive to hold everything. So the system uses retrieval memory to dynamically fetch only the relevant data from the database and swap it into the context window exactly when the AI needs it.
You know, here's where it gets really interesting for me. I look at good AI memory the same way I look at the owner of a great neighborhood cafe.
How so?
Well, when you walk in, you don't have to re-explain that you prefer oat milk or that you're allergic to almonds. They just remember.
Oh, right.
And that memory builds immense trust. You feel seen as an individual. Big Mama is trying to recreate that relational trust at scale rather than treating every single interaction with a community member as a blank slate.
That's a great analogy. Memory establishes the relationship, but memory alone doesn't let the AI execute the work.
Right. It needs hands.
It needs tools. It needs API connections to calendars, local databases, messaging systems. And this is where Watkins' background as a security engineer heavily influences the design.
Because connecting an LLM to real-world tools introduces huge risk.
Significant risk.
Which raises an important question, and I'm asking this on behalf of every developer and business owner listening.
Okay.
Giving an AI access to a calendar, an email server, and business inventory sounds like an unfathomable security blast radius.
It really does.
What happens if a malicious prompt injection tricks the AI into deleting all the store's meetings or zeroing out the inventory?
Well, that concept of the blast radius is the primary threat model here. You simply cannot give an AI blanket administrative access.
Obviously not.
So Watkins mitigates this by applying strict security principles, mainly least privilege and scoped tokens.
Okay, scoped tokens.
Yeah. In practice, a scope token means the AI isn't given the master key to the database. It is given a temporary, highly restricted digital key that only allows it to read specific rows of data, and that key expires in minutes.
Oh, wow. So even if the AI gets confused or tricked, it physically lacks the credentials to do major damage.
Exactly. Furthermore, Watkins designs Big Mama to operate at what he calls maturity level 3 for assisted execution.
Walk me through what maturity level 3 actually looks like for the user.
It basically means the AI can read your availability and draft a complex task. It can pull together the context and suggest, say, canceling an appointment.
Okay.
But it is physically incapable of writing to the calendar or executing a destructive action without throwing up a confirmation gate.
So a human has to sign off?
Yes. The user must explicitly click approve or say yes. The AI operates as a highly capable partner, not an unsupervised rogue employee.
So we've given the LLM a structured brain using DAGs, we've given it distinct memory buckets, and we've given it safe hands through scoped tool calling.
Right.
But for Big Mama, the ultimate interface isn't a keyboard and mouse, it's voice.
Voice is the front door.
Because if you are a busy bakery owner covered in flour or a community elder who just wants to ask a question naturally, typing is a huge barrier.
It is.
But adding voice, man, that completely changes the engineering physics of the entire application.
It's a completely different ballgame. A text-based chatbot operates on a simple asynchronous request and response cycle. You send a message, it thinks, it replies.
Very clean.
Very clean. But voice is a continuous, live, stateful session. To build this real-time nervous system, Watkins utilizes a framework called LiveKit for the infrastructure, paired with 11 Labs for generating the synthetic voice persona.
Yeah, the source material specifically mentions that LiveKit relies on WebRTC. Why is that specific protocol necessary? Like, why couldn't they just stream the audio over a standard web connection?
Well, standard web connections like HTTP or WebSockets, they prioritize delivering every single packet of data perfectly, even if it takes extra time to resend a dropped packet.
Right, you want all the data.
But WebRTC, which is the exact same ultra-low latency technology that powers live video platforms like Zoom, it prioritizes speed over perfection.
Oh, interesting.
It sends data continuously. If a tiny packet of audio drops, it doesn't pause the whole stream to go fetch it. It just keeps pushing forward.
Which makes sense, because for real-time AI conversation, that continuous low latency stream is non-negotiable.
Absolutely non-negotiable.
Because I was thinking about this in a text chat. If the AI takes 2 seconds to reply, you don't even notice.
Right. You're just staring at a typing bubble.
Exactly. But in voice, a 2-second delay is agonizing. It feels like you are talking to someone on a terrible satellite phone.
It really does.
You say something, wait in silence, then you both start talking over each other. It completely breaks the illusion of a helpful conversation.
Watkins actually explicitly notes that latency is part of the personality.
Oh, I love that phrasing.
Yeah. The engineering challenge is relentlessly optimizing a massive pipeline to keep delays under roughly 500 milliseconds.
Half a second.
Half a second. Think about what has to happen in that time. The microphone captures the audio, it travels over the network, a speech-to-text engine transcribes it, the LLM processes the text and generates a response, an API synthesizes that text back into realistic audio, and then it travels back across the network to your speaker.
That is wild.
Every single one of those hops eats into the latency budget.
And on top of that, human conversation isn't clean, like we're doing right now. We interrupt each other, we use filler words like, we change our minds halfway through a thought.
Right.
To handle that, the infrastructure needs sophisticated turn detection.
And turn detection is incredibly difficult.
Mm-mm.
The system has to analyze the audio stream to determine if you are actually finished speaking or if you are simply pausing to take a breath while gathering your thoughts.
Because if it jumps in too early, it's infuriating.
Yeah.
It also has to handle barge in, right? Where the user just interrupts the AI mid-sentence.
Yes. When a user barges in, the system has to instantly sever the audio playback stream, dump the rest of the text the LLM was generating, update its memory to reflect that it was cut off, and start listening again. And it needs to incorporate repair language. If the AI realizes it went down the wrong path, it needs to smoothly say, "Got it, I misunderstood, let me correct that," rather than just awkwardly resetting or looping.
I'm looking at this architecture and thinking, okay, building a custom, culturally grounded voice persona from scratch and engineering all of these complex conversational repair loops that adds weeks, maybe months, to development.
Oh, easily.
And it heavily taxes the latency budget. So from a pure engineering standpoint, why wouldn't Watkins just optimize for maximum speed and use a generic stock voice API to get the product out the door?
Well, because that approach fundamentally ignores the entire purpose of the application. The voice is the primary trust layer of the product.
The trust layer.
Yeah. If the voice feels cold, overly robotic, or culturally tone-deaf to a Black business owner or community member, the product fails before the AI even has a chance to generate a recommendation.
Right.
The interface itself is the product.
So the cultural nuance isn't just window dressing, it's the actual mechanism of user adoption.
Exactly the point. However, the documentation stresses a really rigid ethical boundary regarding synthetic speech. The system must be engineered to have a human-like, natural conversational rhythm, but it must be entirely transparent that it is an AI. It can never deceive the user into believing they are speaking to a real human being.
Right, which is so important. So let's look at what happens when we take this beautiful, perfectly tuned, low-latency agent out of the lab and release it into the wild.
The real world.
Because recording a slick demo video for social media is easy, but maintaining production environments is incredibly hard.
Production is where theoretical systems either survive or collapse. Because real users don't have perfect fiber optic internet. They're walking down the street with a spotty cellular connection.
Or they're sitting in a noisy coffee shop.
Right. Third-party database APIs unexpectedly timeout. To survive this, Watkins implements a core engineering philosophy of graceful degradation.
Graceful degradation. Just to ground that concept, I kind of look at graceful degradation like being an expert host at a dinner party.
Okay, I like this.
You're cooking a complex multi-course meal, and suddenly your oven entirely shorts out. A bad host starts screaming, throws their hands up, and kicks everyone out of the house.
Panic mode.
Exactly. A great host smoothly pivots. They serve an amazing cold salad, they quietly order a stack of incredible pizzas, and they pour everyone more wine.
The guest still has a great time.
Yeah. The trust remains intact.
Well, applying that metaphor to the code, graceful degradation means writing explicit try-catch fallback layers throughout the architecture.
So catching the errors gracefully.
Exactly. If the primary audio pipeline tries to connect but latency spikes past a usable threshold, the system catches that failure and smoothly drops down to a text-based interface.
Well, that's smart.
If a real-time database query takes longer than 400 milliseconds, the AI catches the timeout, stops waiting, and smoothly uses its context window to summarize what it already knows to fill the conversational gap.
It is engineered to fail safely. And to know when those fallback layers are triggering, the system requires intense observability because you simply cannot fix what you cannot measure.
No, you can't. And observability in an AI system goes far beyond traditional uptime monitoring. The telemetry must track session success rates. It tracks time to first audio.
Time to first audio.
Yeah, the exact millisecond count between the user finishing their sentence and the AI's first spoken syllable. It monitors how often the system relies on those try-catch fallbacks.
That is a lot of data to track.
It is.
But I keep coming back to the overarching why behind all of this intense, rigorous engineering. Why go through the pain of building DAGs, managing scope tokens, and fighting for every millisecond of latency?
Well, the rigor is entirely driven by the mission of Djembe AI.
Great.
The mission is to build discovery as economic infrastructure. It is about making sure people can seamlessly find Black-owned businesses, local services, and cultural events using the most frictionless interface possible, which is their voice.
And doing it without building an extractive AI.
Yes, that is crucial.
Culturally grounded AI isn't just about feeding an LLM some slang or giving the assistant a familiar-sounding voice persona. Non-extractive AI means the actual economic value and the data must flow back to the community it is representing.
Exactly. The business owners have to maintain control over their own digital profiles.
There has to be strict data stewardship. The community isn't just raw material for a tech giant's training run.
Which is precisely why Watkins published his Builder's Roadmap for becoming a voice AI engineer. He is openly showing his work to the public.
Sharing the knowledge.
Right. He breaks down how genuine AI engineering requires rigorous back-end systems design, strict data management, and serious threat modeling. Djembe AI and Big Mama aren't just software products.
No.
They serve as a public proof-of-work portfolio, demonstrating how to build advanced technology that actually respects, protects, and empowers a specific community.
It's a totally different paradigm for software development.
It really is.
We have covered a massive architectural journey today. We started by looking at how the rigid logic of expert systems gave way to the mathematical coordinate mapping of transformers and embeddings.
A huge leap.
Yeah. And then we explored how you give a probabilistic engine a steering wheel using directed acyclic graphs, structured memory, and the security of scope tokens.
Right.
We tore down the latency budget of real-time voice using WebRTC. And finally, we examined how graceful degradation and observability keep this system alive in the chaotic real world.
When you look at the entire architecture, it highlights a pretty profound truth. The most advanced AI isn't the one that acts the most human. It is the one that integrates the most seamlessly, reliably, and safely into actual human workflows.
Absolutely. And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to ponder as we wrap up today's deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mama is explicitly designed to use its memory architecture and continuous community feedback to correct itself over time. It actually relies on the community to teach it boundaries, preferences, and local nuances. So ask yourself, what happens to our relationship with technology when an artificial intelligence isn't just an opaque black box extracting our data to sell targeted ads?
Yeah, what does that look like?
What happens when it is instead a system that requires us to actively teach it our culture, our values, and our operational boundaries? Does that transform AI from a tool of digital surveillance into a living digital reflection of the community itself?
That is a great question.
It brings us right back to where we started. We aren't building simple vending machines anymore, and we certainly cannot afford to rely on the illusion of magic.
No, we have to rigorously engineer systems that reflect and protect the people who use them.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep asking the hard questions about the mechanics of the technology being built around you, and we will catch you next time.